Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Michael Mann, the director of the Earth System Science Center at Penn State University. He's a co-founding contributor to the award-winning science website realclimate.org, and in 2007 he shared the Nobel Peace Prize with others on the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. His books include Dire Predictions, Understanding Global Warming, The Hockey Stick and the Climate Wars, Dispatches from the Front Lines, and his latest book is The Madhouse Effect, How Climate Change Denial is Threatening Our Planet, Destroying Our Politics, and Driving Us Crazy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Mann.
Thank you.
Well, you're going to have to write a sequel to your latest book, Michael, because the government of the United States is now being run by climate deniers in terms of the environment. The head of the EPA is a climate denier, and now he's purging the Environmental Protection Agency's Board of Scientific Counselors, which reviews the EPA's own research in an effort to sustain and enhance the quality of its science. And there are 18 members of this board. He's apparently firing five of them already, and he'll fire up to a dozen and put pro-industry people on, and they may not even have any scientific background. So what's happening here to the country? We're becoming brain dead, aren't we?
Back in September, how prescient it would be, because, of course, we are now very much in the madhouse of climate change denialism, where we've got a climate change denying president and a Congress that is run by climate change deniers, Republican climate change deniers, and as you note, Trump has appointed to key positions within his cabinet an array of climate change deniers and industry lobbyists. It is the veritable fox guarding the hen house when it comes to the way the administration is treating matters of science and science policy. And here we have the EPA. As you note, the EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt, is a climate change denier. When he was Attorney General of Oklahoma, he ghost wrote policy documents that were ostensibly government documents, but they had been ghost written by fossil fuel interest. It's really remarkable. And this latest act now of getting rid of those members of this advisory board that are actually qualified, that have a background in the science, that's why these advisory boards exist. They have no actual administrative power. They can't make policy. They can't dictate policy. Their only role is to advise the administrator so that the administrator, his decisions are informed by actual science. And what they're doing here is to get rid of those folks, many of them from academia who are leading researchers in this area, and replacing them with the very fossil fuel interests and other polluting interests that the EPA was designed to regulate and to prevent them from doing damage to our environment. So it's, you know, in the end, it doesn't actually have any impact because they have nothing other than an advisory role to the EPA administrator. But what's more important is what it communicates to all of us, that there is a total disdain by this administration, by this EPA administrator, for the environment, the very thing that the EPA was founded by, I would mention, you know, add a Republican president, Richard Nixon, to guard against.
Well, there's an Orwellian or Stalinist kind of quality to all this, and it goes to this alternative universe that Donald Trump and Stephen Bannon have created. And as we know, Donald Trump simply cannot tell the truth, and he doesn't know the difference between truth and lies. He doesn't even know when he's lying. He's just a sort of salesman who believes his pitch, and it's all situational ethics and whatever's happening at the moment. He changes it. He's all over the place because there's no moral core to this man. There's no moral compass here. But what he's done, and I think mostly it's the work of Bannon and others, they have an alternative universe of 86% of his people believe that Trump is trustworthy and honest and will fulfill his promises, and 78% of his followers believe that the mainstream media prints fake news. So Trump has created a situation where he's able to propagate fake news, which is believed by his followers, at the same time attacking real news from, for example, the failing New York Times, etc. So that's right. The world we're in. How much is this crazy Orwellian Stalinist new think, I don't know what you call it, this alternative universe about how the environment is actually being protected by the Environmental Protection Agency, even though they're all working with the Koch brothers and others to liberate the fossil fuels people so they can pollute us into non-existence?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Stalinist, you know, moniker is appropriate here, because under Stalin, we had the era of Lysenko. Lysenko was this Soviet, basically a crackpot scientist who advocated crackpot theories about, that basically went against the our understanding of evolution. He argued that living things could acquire characteristics during their lifetime and pass them along, which, you know, is like a Lamarckian sort of point of view of the way biology works, which is completely wrong. But more than that, because he was the darling of Stalin, he essentially was able to control Soviet agricultural policy. Scientists who disagreed with him were put in jail. Some of them died in jail. And the official policy of the Soviet Union became this theory, this Lysenkoism, which it turns out when it was implemented led to massive blights, the massive famines, because it just didn't work. And so, you know, people died because the government decided for political reasons to adopt an anti-scientific policy. And, you know, the analogy is apt here, because what we're talking about is the denial by Republican congressmen and our administration and those he's appointed to the EPA and other key positions, the denial that there is even a problem when it comes to this existential problem, climate change, which is perhaps the greatest threat that we face. Even our national security leaders say that climate change is probably the greatest national security threat, because it is a it's what we call a threat multiplier. It takes existing tensions for food and water and land and makes them worse. And we're seeing that play out in Syria and in the Middle East and now in Europe in the form of ISIS. So this is literally a decision to make anti-science the official position of the administration in a way that threatens us all in a very real way.
But in the context of fear, it is amazing to see, again, in going back to this alternative universe and this Orwellian Stalinism that Trump and Bannon are practicing and to some extent succeeding in, they are also, you know, as you know, they're cutting the budget of the EPA radically along with the State Department, and at the same time they're increasing defense spending. So what in effect they're doing is they're telling us to be more and more afraid of the terrorists and less afraid of the real fear, which we should have, which is climate change. So they're ginning up an artificial fear about something that has a remote chance of happening. You have much greater chance of being struck by lightning than being killed by a terrorist. But we're all going to be affected by climate change, and we're going to be affected by it even in more impactful and horrendous terms because of the denial that's going on. Denial leads to delay. And that's the tragedy. We're starting to make some progress. We're starting to recognize the clear and present danger that threatens the planet, and threatens our future, and threatens our grandchildren. And yet these disgusting clowns are, what are they doing and why are they doing it? That's the key question.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Russian connection is an interesting one to talk about, because we know that the largest currently unexploited oil reserves in the world are in the Arctic coast of Russia. And it is no secret that ExxonMobil and Russia have wanted to collaborate in the extraction of these huge petroleum reserves for years, but they were barred from doing so because of sanctions that were placed during the Obama administration because of Russia's aggression elsewhere. And that, it's pretty clear now what's happened since then. Well, the Trump administration clearly has very close ties to Russia. That's playing out right now in Senate hearings. Sally Yates is speaking to this very issue. And those ties seem to be related to a mutual interest on the part of those who surround Trump. He's appointed Rex Tillerson, the CEO of ExxonMobil, to be his Secretary of State. It's impossible to ignore those connections. Ultimately, it looks like this is about exploiting this largest sort of remaining fossil fuel reserve. And you can understand much of Trump's policies. You can understand the appointments he's made, and you can understand this Russian, this Russiagate scandal that he has become mired in through that lens, through understanding that this is ultimately about billions of dollars that of profits by fossil fuel interests and the cronies that they work with and affiliates of Donald Trump. If the Russians are able to mine that remaining oil reserve.
Well, of course, the sick irony here is that global warming is making it more possible to exploit the Arctic oil because of the planet warming and therefore
the loss of sea ice. Absolutely,
the sea ice
making
is,
it much
yeah.
easier to test. Yep.
But to put it in the broader context, isn't this the last hurrah of big oil? Even the Saudis have figured out it's not going to last much longer. You have companies like Tesla now having more market capitalization than General Motors. They make electric cars. We know that the future is to get off fossil fuels.
That's right.
But
yeah,
so are these guys, they see the writing on the wall, and they just want to get every last drop of dinosaur blood out there to make money off. Is that what's happening?
That's exactly right. They still have these assets, these huge assets in the form of known fossil fuel reserves, and they want to exploit those assets. They don't want those assets to become stranded, which they will if we act on this problem as we need to. And so they recognize the writing is on the wall. The world is moving on. It's clear that we've moved on from the age of fossil fuels to the age of renewable energy. The rest of the world recognizes that. The countries who are leading, like China, are the ones who are benefiting in this economic race. And the irony is that by this retrenchment by the Trump administration and his affiliates back towards the continued exploitation of fossil fuels and the de-investment in the energy of the future, renewable energy, that is costing us our competitiveness in the global economy. We risk not being on board this train forward, which is, you know, the clean energy revolution. We risk getting left behind in the greatest economic revolution of this century because of the narrow fossil fuel interests and the profit motives of them and their cronies and Donald Trump. We risk falling behind the rest of the world, and you know, and it does mean it will be a little bit difficult, more difficult to stabilize warming below dangerous levels if Trump does indeed withdraw from the Paris summit, if he's successful in undoing the achievements of the Obama administration, the clean power plan and incentives for renewable energy that took place under the Obama administration. If he's successful in implementing that agenda, it is going to make it a little bit more difficult for the rest of the world to work toward keeping warming below catastrophic levels. So it's bad in every way imaginable. It's bad for us. It's bad for the planet. It's bad for the world. And it's bad economics as far as the U.S. is concerned.
So at what point do we get real with Trump and the Koch brothers and all of these lackeys that he's got in his cabinet and Tillerson, obviously, he's already made the deal with Putin. It's just a question of getting rid of the sanctions and going for the oil. And you know that Putin uses Gazprom as leverage over Western Europe, as mad as they are about his interference in the French elections and the upcoming German elections. At the same time, they're all hooked on Russian gas. And that's the game that he plays, and that's why he's in Syria. He's in Syria to stop the Qataris from building a pipeline into the Mediterranean so that they can compete with Gazprom, which he doesn't want. So he plays this game very, very effectively.
Well, and it's all about fossil fuels. Once again, as you know, even the reason for the sanctions that are preventing them from exploiting the Arctic oil is their fossil fuel policies in the first place, overly aggressive fossil fuel policies. Yeah.
So can we start a global movement, since the planet's endangered and we're all in this lifeboat Earth together, and the people that are running this country are engaged in a criminal activity? It's known as reckless endangerment. It's against the law. Can we make this case that these people are criminals because they are deliberately suppressing the reality of what's happened to the planet and making it much more likely that effects of climate change will be far more catastrophic than they would otherwise be because we're delaying dealing with this problem?
Well, you know, it's much like Al Capone. It may be the smaller infractions that get them rather than the larger infractions, which are hidden in plain view, which you allude to. So, you know, we may indeed see, based on what happens with the FBI investigation and Russiagate, we may well see, Trump impeached. But even then, you still have several layers down of Republican leadership that are still very much part of the sort of Koch brothers agenda of fossil fuel, continued sort of fossil fuel intensive economy. I think at this point, only the will of the people can change this. The midterm elections, if we are to see a shakeup in Congress, that would make it more difficult for Trump to implement his fossil fuel agenda, his agenda of incentivizing fossil fuels and de-incentivizing renewable energy. At the same time, we are seeing efforts at the state level, at the municipal level, to move in the direction that we know we need to move in. And we're actually seeing progress there, even while, we lack leadership at the top level when it comes to energy and climate policy. We do have enlightened governments at the state level, at the city level, and we're making enough progress there that as long as that progress continues, and the rest of the world moves in the direction that it's clearly moving, away from fossil fuels toward renewable energy, then I feel that we can recover from this temporary setback. That's the way I look at it. It's a temporary setback. Obviously, if this were to remain our policy, if Trump and congressional Republicans were able to hold power for, 4 years, 8 years, then there's a lot more damage that could be done. The amount of damage that can be done in one term, I think, is somewhat limited. If you do the math, Trump alone cannot put a big enough dent in the the cuts that we're seeing in fossil fuel reliance on fossil fuels. He can't make a big enough dent in that progress to change our course that much. If those policies were to remain in place for 8 years or more, we are the second largest emitter. China's the largest emitter on the planet, but we're the second largest emitter. We're responsible for, somewhere close to 10% more of global carbon emissions. Progress can still be made even without the U.S. taking a leadership role, as long as that lack of leadership doesn't persist.
Well, Michael Mann, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, Ian.
And again, I've been speaking with Michael Mann, the director of the Earth Systems Science Center at Penn State University. He's a co-founder and contributor to the award-winning science website realclimate.org. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graeme Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.